tuned into Quick Charge, the high voltage podcast bringing you the top stories in electric vehicles and sustainable energy daily. And it's all powered by Electrek. Welcome to Quick Charge. It's August 12th, 2025, and I'm your host, Joe Boris. Now, we're back to a daily news format on Quick Charge. We tried for a little while to kind of focus on a singular theme, and today we're kind of doing the same thing, but not necessarily by design. It's called Robo-Ruination. We are exploring the different ways that the robo-taxi and full self-driving promises are failing to come to fruition, and of course, what that is doing to Tesla. And we're going to kick this off with a story from July, where Tesla was forced to refund a $10,000 FSD payment. And, of course, at the same time, they launched 0% interest on the Cybertruck. But the key thing here was that it was the first time that a judge had said and ruled effectively against Tesla, saying that the full self-driving program was not living up to the promises that Elon had been making. And it was indeed a false advertising case. Now, we said then that the floodgates were going to open, and less than a month later, Tesla was found liable in a fatal autopilot crash and is being forced to pay as much as $243 million. Now, that was just one case. Again, the floodgates are open, and the same lawyer who beat Tesla in that first case is now going after them for round two. As we previously reported, a Florida jury has assigned 33% of the responsibility for a fatal crash involving autopilot to Tesla and awarded the plaintiffs, the family of the victim, and the survivor of the crash $243 million. Now, even though Tesla is expected to appeal the verdict, over the last few years, Tesla has been able to dismiss concerns as it hides behind warnings to pay attention and disclosure stating that drivers are always the ones responsible in the event of an accident. In short, Tesla has always claimed that it bears no responsibility if drivers abuse its ADAS systems. However, things have been changing. Of course, Fred writes about the lawsuits that we just referenced, and in the trial, the plaintiffs managed to get around Tesla putting the blame on the driver and convince the jury that its marketing and deployment of autopilot contributed to drivers misusing a system that fails to perform as advertised. In an interview with The Verge, Brett Schreiber, the lead attorney in the Florida case, revealed that he is also leading another wrongful death case in Tesla Maldonado v. Tesla, currently pending to the Alameda State Superior Court, which is expected to commence by the end of the year. In this case, a Tesla vehicle on autopilot hit a pickup truck on the highway, killing 15-year-old Giovanni Maldonado, who was a passenger in the truck. His father was driving him back home from a soccer game. The crash occurred in 2019, but is only now being brought to trial. The legal process takes time, and we are only now beginning to see the legal repercussions of crashes involving Tesla autopilot as well as the FSD system. With more vehicles in the Tesla fleet and more mileage using ADAS features, crashes involving those vehicles increased significantly between 2020 and 2025, meaning more potential legal trouble for Tesla. For his part, Schreiber claims to have an even stronger case with Maldonado v. Tesla. In the Benavides, Florida case, the autopilot defect part of the case was more about the fact that the driver shouldn't have been able to use the system on non-highway roads. But in Maldonado's case, the crash occurred on a highway where autopilot is intended to be used. Facts are a stubborn thing, reads the report, and we get to tell those same facts with a better autopilot defect theory. And I am not only juxtaposed Musk's lies in that case, but I juxtapose them with the testimony that I didn't have in Miami. I've only had this case for a year. I worked with Maldonado case from the beginning. And in that case, I have testimony from all the senior autopilot leadership, Sterling Anderson, CJ Moore, Andre Carpathy, and I show them those same quotes that were played to that jury in Miami. I said, when Mr. Musk said those things, was that a true statement about production vehicles at Tesla? To a person, they answer, absolutely not. Schreiber claims to have testimonies from Tesla autopilot executives and engineers from around the time of the crash that contradict what CEO Elon Musk was saying to the public about autopilot. Once these testimonies are entered as evidence, they could have important implications for dozens of other cases involving autopilot. And still no talk of a class action lawsuit. So there's going to be big, big financial repercussions here. And if those individual cases against Tesla weren't enough, remember, Tesla is getting sued for securities fraud over the robotaxi launch by its own shareholders. So it just gets worse and worse for those guys. And at the core of everything that's being argued and said here in court is Tesla's advertising and Tesla's marketing and promises about the capabilities of full self-driving and autopilot. That sort of disconnect between this idea of what the cars can and can't do versus what Elon says they can do could lead to Tesla being banned from selling cars in the state of California for up to 30 days if this false advertising claim continues. And Tesla recently put out a rare advertisement in California, seemingly specifically to counter claims that their advertising about full self-driving is misleading. And this is even more misleading. They have experienced full self-driving and a little tiny font here that says supervised that you can hardly read when you're driving down the road. So yeah, this seems to be, again, misleading. And if anything, seems to fully emphasize that Tesla is not really putting this idea that you have to be fully attentive and supervise this system front and center. Now, if Tesla's former leadership doesn't have confidence in this and the lawsuits are piling up, there's other companies that have put a ton of money into these promises of full self-driving, and they are starting to say, we don't think this is going to happen. The most obvious one being Revel. Revel is shutting down its Model Y-powered ride-hailing service, which was basically Tesla Robotaxi. The whole idea behind this was that they would, once the software was ready, be able to deploy their massive fleet of Tesla Model Ys as autonomous ride-hailing vehicles, and they would build out this charging network to support those vehicles. Well, the vehicles ain't doing it, folks. They're not able to do what Elon promised they'd be able to do, but Revel's charging stations are profitable, apparently, and seem to be serving the needs of EV drivers in New York and throughout New England. Revel started with a ride-sharing fleet of electric scooters, but in 2021, expanded into a ride-hailing fleet of Model Y vehicles in New York. It's essentially the same service Tesla recently launched in the Bay Area of California, which is called Robotaxi. Revel's system was particularly interesting as it used modified Model Ys with the front passenger seat removed in some of the vehicles in the fleet to give more space to the rear passengers. So interesting stuff there. This week, Revel announced that it was shutting down its ride-hailing fleet to focus exclusively on charging, as I just said. Quote, we have made the difficult decision that the best way we can keep the EV transition moving forward is by ending our rideshare service and focusing on building the fast charging infrastructure our biggest cities need to keep going electric. The company plans to sell its 165 electric vehicles, primarily Tesla Model Ys, as well as all of its four higher vehicle license plates, which are valued at $25,000 each. So lots of news in the Tesla sphere, and frankly, lots of news in getting around, especially if you're one of the people who's been using Revel's ride-hailing service throughout New England. And good news, if that is you, you can now check out Retrospec. This episode is brought to you by Retrospec, of course. They're the makers of sleek, powerful e-bikes and outdoor gear built for everyday adventure. This past weekend, I got to try out that Siesta Dock XL that you see here in the picture. That bike down in the bottom is my own bike. And hey, if you're ready to upgrade your everyday bike, check out Retrospec's viral city bike, the Beaumont Rev 2. You can see it in yellow there in the corner. Made with a vintage-inspired frame and modern electric features that wow, all for just $9.99. Retrospec's e-bike collection has something for everyone, from rugged fat-tire e-bikes to compact commuters to e-trikes and folding models that move with you wherever life takes you. Retrospec is all about making electric bikes more affordable without cutting corners. So you're getting solid performance, thoughtful design, and through August 14th, you can get an additional 10% off by using the code ELECTREC10 at retrospec.com. We'll have that in the show notes over at electrec.co. If you do get one of these bikes, be sure to tag your ride when you hit the road, snap a shot of the bike, and share your outdoor moments with hashtag ready2outdoor for a chance to get featured. So if you are in the market for a new ride, definitely check those Retrospec guys out. And if you're in the market for a new ride on four wheels, you are not alone. July was the second best month for EVs in the US ever, according to Kelley Blue Book's latest numbers. Across the industry, EV incentives hit record levels, averaging 17.5% of the vehicle's total price, a more than 40% jump from last year, as automakers and dealers have been racing to move EVs off their lots before federal incentives expire on October 1st. And I think it's safe to say the strategy is working. Cox Automotive says July EV sales topped 130,000 units, up 20% year over year, making it the second strongest month for U.S. EV sales on record. Stephanie Valdez-Streedy, senior analyst at Cox Automotive, said, quote, the urgency created by the Trump administration's decision to sunset government-backed IRA-era EV incentives was expected to create serious demand for EVs in the short term. If last month is any measure, mission accomplished. July sales were near an all-time high. At this pace, Q3 will be the best ever, and then some, as buyers jump in before the big incentives dry up. One company that isn't wasting any time getting these cars on the road is BMW. They are discounting the 2026 EVs almost before they hit the lot. We're seeing almost $10,000 in incentives on BMW i7, $7,500, $5,000 on different models. We've got links to all of that, again, in the show notes at electrek.co. Be sure to check that out. And then finally, we like to end these shows talking about sustainability, talking about the grid, talking about the environment. Today is no different. Prologis is set to generate a massive 82 megawatts of energy with their rooftop solar projects in the state of Illinois. This week, industrial real estate giant Prologis flipped the switch on a rooftop solar project at one of its Franklin Park, Illinois warehouses, the first of 45 such rooftop installations that the company plans to deploy in the Chicago area in the next 2 years. Once finished, Prologis Community Solar Project will generate more than 80 megawatts of clean energy. Co-developed with Illinois utility ComEd and designed by Sunvest Solar, the new rooftop community solar installation in Franklin Park sits on top of a 195,000 square foot Prologis Logistics Center serving a number of local and regional businesses in and around O'Hare and Midway airports. Prologis will own and operate the 1.56 megawatt community solar project, and the energy it generates will serve mostly residential customers, with the minority of the community solar tax credits created benefiting local businesses. Quote, "We're proud to join ComEd to officially launch this project, the first of many community solar projects that our team is deploying across our Illinois rooftops." That's according to Carter Andrews, Prologis COO. Illinois is one of the fastest growing solar markets in the country, and we're excited to help lead its momentum. For us, this is about more than solar panels. It's about using our scale to make a real difference in the communities we operate in and bring the benefits of clean energy to more people across Illinois. So that's it. That's all I've got for August 12th, 2025. Be sure to head into the comments and let me know what I got right and what I got wrong about Tesla's robo-power ruination here, and really, frankly, how long you think they can last before the hundreds of millions of dollars of lawsuits start pouring in. Like and subscribe, head over to electrek.co for notes, and check out retrospect.com for more great deals on that.